You notice that a bread is larger this morning, right? Otherwise, you'll all be taking a small piece. So next time the sisters bake a bigger piece of bread and make the piece larger so that everyone can have a larger portion. You know, I told the saints sometimes when it comes to the Lord's table, I have a large appetite. I want to choose the biggest piece and take two pieces. Because I want a double portion, right? Don't you want a double portion? I do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We all need to have such a wonderful appetite for Christ, right? And I hope the sisters will bake a bigger piece of bread and then make the pieces larger. Otherwise, it won't even be enough to fill your teeth, right? So praise the Lord. You can really see from this wonderful feast that God has, through Jesus Christ, accomplished everything that was needed to be done to satisfy your needs, right? Don't you agree? Lorraine, is what he did, is it enough for you? More than enough. All the way from the Passover to the rapture to become the first fruits. You know why he's called the first fruit here? Because you should be the first fruits here. That's why in Revelation 14, we in Christ Jesus will also become the first fruits to satisfy the Father. Don't you want to be the first fruits? Of course, if you want to be the first fruits, you need to grow. Right? Suppose you plant in your garden a persimmon, okay? Right. Mary found two seeds, right? Did Mary tell you she found two seeds? Ah, not yet. Oh, she kept it as a surprise for you. Because you want to plant persimmon, right? If you plant it tomorrow, you mean to say the next day you're going to have persimmon? No, definitely not. You will have to wait maybe 5 years, or six, or seven, until the tree grows. And then the tree can bring forth the first fruits. So the Lord has planted his wonderful seed of the kingdom into your heart. It takes time to grow. Right? That is why you can really see the feast of the first fruits, Christ the first fruits. But at the end of this feast, at the time when the Lord comes, he also desires to see all of us as the first fruits to be harvested for the Father's enjoyment and satisfaction. You have to see this. That's why all of this feast has to do with harvesting. This is the harvest in the beginning, the early harvest, and this is the last harvest called the ingathering, because now he's going to gather all the harvest. It's very consistent with the Bible in the New Testament. When the Lord came, he came as a sower. He sowed the seed into your heart. A good seed. The seed of the kingdom. So we become the sons of the kingdom. Wonderful. Then in the book of Revelation chapter 14, the Lord did not come anymore. I will not come anymore as a sower. He comes with a sickle to harvest. You see. Of course, if you sow, what are you looking for? A harvest. Right? If you sow persimmons, why do you sow persimmons? Just to have a nice tree? No. You got a few nice trees already. Well, you sow persimmon tree because you want to harvest persimmon. Mercy, oh, do some harvesting in our garden, right? Ah, isn't it wonderful? Or do you just go to our garden to see the trees? Ah, beautiful trees, and go home. Are you happy, satisfied, filled? Guava, ah, don't you like our guava? Ah, persimmons. We have an orange tree, we have an apple tree. Have you tasted our apple? You better harvest the apple. We have grapefruit. Wow, my goodness. Oh, you just like to see the grapefruit tree. We have even a longan tree. Ah, how about that? Oh, my goodness. Mm. Wonderful. Yeah. So what are we looking for? We're looking for harvest. Believe it or not, we even have a mango tree. You're welcome to come to Fountain Valley to harvest. To harvest. Right. What I'm saying is the Lord planted in Matthew chapter 13, he came to sow the seeds. But in Revelation, he came to harvest. So, keeping this feast, why isn't it called the Feast of Resurrection? Why is it called the Feast of the First Fruit? Because Christ will be the first and we will be the many that follows. Right? So, what a wonderful view in the Bible. You really need to see a panoramic view in the Bible. Then you will know what God is looking for. Right? And the Bible is really consistent. Right? The whole scriptures. I hate to say the Old Testament and the New Testament. But they are very consistent. I was just talking to Frank the other night, or last night, in the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, what happened to the earth? Huh? Void, only void, nothing? Huh? Huh? In darkness. In darkness. And what happened? What else? Filled with the sea, the dead water, judgment. The water, the whole earth was covered with a sea. Judgment. It was God's judgment. What happened at the end in Revelation chapter 22? What did it say? No more sea. Isn't it wonderful? And the very beginning was fully covered by the sea. At the end, no more sea. In the beginning, there was darkness. Darkness is not a good word. In Revelation chapter 22, there's no more darkness. No more night. No more darkness. You can really see the Bible is an entire book. From the very beginning to the end, you must see a complete, wonderful picture. In the beginning, you see a couple, Adam and Eve, wonderful couple. But that's just a shadow. At the very end of the Bible, what do you see? Another couple. The Bible starts with a couple, and the Bible ends with a couple. Oh, wow. Isn't that wonderful? It started with Adam and Eve. It ended with what? The Lamb and His wife. Don't you like the Bible? Right. And in between, you can see God is preparing that. It is not easy, but God is preparing, fulfilling His plan. So when you read the Bible, you have to see God's purpose and God's plan. In the beginning, you see, when God created Adam, man must have the glory of God. It was in His likeness. At the very end, you see what? New Jerusalem, having the glory of God. And in the beginning, man should rule and have dominion. At the very end, we are now the kings and priests and ruling over all of God's creation. This is really wonderful. Right? So, don't think the Bible is just a storybook. No. It is a wonderful book. So you can see now, right, all of these feasts also have a very wonderful meaning. Now, coming back to the feast is for your satisfaction. Whatever you need to accomplish God's purpose is given to you by the Lord Jesus Christ, by all of this wonderful feast. And God's purpose will be accomplished in His first coming and then fully accomplished in His second coming. That's why there are two comings. Because in the first coming, you need salvation. And why wait it so long? Because you need to grow. It's impossible. He came to save you and now you're a king and to rule over the nations. It's impossible. You can't even rule over yourself. Right? Do you rule over your room? Everything in order in your room? How about that, Benson? Firstly, you learn to rule over your room. That's wonderful. It's just how many square meters? Right? How many square meters is your room? 10, maybe? Can you rule over 10 square meter? No. If you cannot rule over 10 square meter, how are you going to rule over Manila? You think it's easy to rule over Manila? I don't think so. If the Lord would give me a choice, I would say, oh, no, Lord, not Manila. Maybe Stuttgart. So it takes a while. That's why there's a first coming and there is a second coming. And in between, it is a time for you and I to mature, for the church to be built up, for a new Jerusalem, the kingdom to be well established. Then the bridegroom can come and the king can come. For a king, he needs a kingdom. For a bridegroom, he needs the bride. This is very consistent in the Bible. So there's the two comings. And that's why we need to know the first coming, the four feasts, which is absolutely adequate for our preparation. And then the last three feasts to make the final touch, you know, to build a house. The structure is very easy, very rough, pop, 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 it's done. But then the final touch that really requires some fine feeling, the interior decorator. You have to have an interior decorator. It's not easy, really, right? So the bride has made herself ready. You mean to say the bride did just have hair growing and wearing pajamas and and the wedding? You want to go to a wedding like that? Which bride will go to a wedding like that? Will you? Suppose it's your wedding day. You're going to wear jeans and chinelas. Just wear chinelas. Well, one of these. Flip-flop. And a t-shirt says, "I love you, Lord Jesus." And you walk into the wedding. Would you do that? No, you will really spend time to make yourself beautiful, ready for the bridegroom. We need to do that. Today, don't just say, "Oh, hallelujah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, praise the Lord, amen," and that's it. But no change, you're not transformed, no glory. The beauty of holiness, the Bible says. The beauty of holiness. For God, nothing is more beautiful than holiness. Right? To match the glorious bridegroom. So, there's a need of preparation. That's why this last three feasts is really a fine working in our life to prepare for the wedding, to prepare for the kingdom. Right? So, the Lord really has opened our eyes. Now, the Lord has prepared such wonderful feast to meet your need, to satisfy you. Now it is our turn to prepare the offering, the enjoyment and the experience of the reality of this feast will become your offerings to offer up to the Father for His satisfaction. With the feast, you are satisfied. With the offerings, He is satisfied. The Father is satisfied. Don't you want to satisfy Him? Did He satisfy your need? And would you satisfy His need? Of course. I like that answer. Of course. There should be a reaction from our side to the Father. Especially the more you grow, aren't you thankful to your parents? Tell me. Really? Or you just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat? If you're a baby, yes. But now, as a mature person, aren't you thankful? You know, within my heart, I never stop thanking God for giving me such parents. I miss them. Right? My only regret is I didn't spend enough time with them because I was away. But if I would have to live my life over again, the first thing I will do is to spend more time with my dear father and mother. Right. And how much more after we grow and enjoy such an enjoyment given to us by the Father? When we are mature, the more we are mature in life, the more we would like to satisfy the Father. Don't you? To become like the Lord Jesus Christ, so obedient to the Father, well pleasing to the Father, to satisfy His needs, right? To be for His kingdom, to do the Father's will. Don't you want to do that? Or now you forget about your dad. Just do what you want to do. You're big enough, right? You're old enough, right? Just like the prodigal son, get your share and get lost. Would you like to be like that? No. What about us, a son of God? We are now not just babies, but now we should be grown children, grown sons, mature. As a mature son of God, what do? Go and take vacation every week. Our Father is so rich. Look, my Heavenly Father is so rich. So what do? Just take a cruise every month. Oh, there are so many cruises. Oh, you go to Caribbean, you go to Japan, you go to Alaska, you go to... Where else? I don't even know. I haven't taken a cruise yet in my life. You want to do that? The Lord, I already mentioned, was so much for the Father. Even at the age of 12, he was for God's business because he came to do the Father's will. Let us read again. Let us read Hebrews chapter 10. Because this is the first offering, the burnt offering. In the burnt offering, the whole bull, the whole animal, sheep or goat, every part is burned up as a sweet aroma for the Father's enjoyment. Every part. Nothing for us, all for God. Sacrifice, verse 5, and offerings you do not desire, not because, no need more of sacrifices, but bulls, sheep, goats, dove. I don't think God needs to have a bull every Sunday. Steaks, you're going to cook steaks? No. But a body you have prepared for me. Praise the Lord. Why a body? Because a body is very practical. Do you have a body? Do you want to be a person without a body? That's not good. Right, a body. But what do you do with your body? Okay. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am to replace all of these offerings. Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, in the scriptures. Not in the Old Testament, but in the scriptures, and specifically in Psalms. Right? Behold, I come, O God, to what? To take a cruise, to enjoy the planet Earth. Father, I want to go to Earth to take a vacation, to see how beautiful the planet is. I'd like to visit Tagaytay, Palawan. I'd like to go to Boracay. Oh, you think the Lord Jesus came down to Israel to have a good time? Why did you come to the Philippines? I think I shouldn't be asking him, right? If you ask me why I came to the Philippines, it's only one reason. You know what that reason is. We should all say, behold, I come to do your will, O God. It's a wonderful thing. I'm telling you this because this is the first offering. No, I'm going to write down in the Bible. In the Bible. No, not the Bible, on the board. I'm going to erase this. Okay. Now, all of these feasts is from him to us, okay? From God to us. Now, what about from us to God, right? What about this arrow? The arrow that comes down is the feasts. The arrow that goes up are the offerings. By the way, let me tell you, offering, this word offering, is exclusively for God. You don't offer any sacrifice for man. No, no, no. Don't think, oh, it's just a terminology. No, it's not a terminology. You think terminology, the word, does not have any meaning? If there is no meaning, you can just use any word. What about, I'm going to invite Jonah. Invite. Oh, you don't have to use the word invite. Use summon. I'm going to summon Jonah. You think there's no difference? Huh? Who is an English major here? Oh, Aunt Mary. No, she's busy right now. What about you? All of you are... Okay, John, you're an American. What is an invitation? Bring, just to bring him over? Well, what about if there's no feast? Can't you invite people? Oh, yeah, for a cup of coffee. I invite you for a cup of coffee. What about summon? You're in trouble. When you're in trouble, the judge will summon you. Hey, come. You're not invited to come to the court. You're summoned to come to the court. You have no choice. So don't say wording is not important. The Bible did not say, oh, bring your offering and share it with the Father. Share it with the Father. No, you don't use the word share. You use the word offer, because offering implies worship. Implies his greatness. Implies his majesty. Offering to the Father implies he's God. He's the Almighty One. So you don't say, oh, I'm going to share this with God. No, you don't say that. Please, don't use that word. Okay? Right? You still think vocabulary, the word, is not important? It's very, very important. So when you come and prepare your offering, don't stand up and say, I'm going to share with you something. Sharing is you want to share with the saints, especially for their edification. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If any one of you have something, you share it for the edification of the church. But when you are bringing an offering, it is not for the edification of the saints. It is for the satisfaction and worship for the Father. Jonah, 我敬拜你. I better not say that. If somebody says, Charlie, I worship you. You better say, stop. You can say, I like you. You can say, I love you. You can say, well, I hate you. Whatever you can say. But don't use the word, I worship you. Because that word belongs to the Father. So when you bring an offering, don't say, I'm going to share this with the Father. I'm going to offer an offering to God, my Father, for His satisfaction. Father, I bring you an offering, a burned offering. Now, why is it in Leviticus you have five offerings? Number one, you have the burned offering. Burnt offering. And number two, you have the meal offering. Okay, meal offering. And number three, remember this is not my requirement, okay? It's God's requirement. I just want to make sure you know it is not my requirement. I don't require anything from anybody. Okay? But it is God who requires it. Remember that. Don't just bring anything to God. Okay, don't bring a wonderful, nice Filipino bibinka and you want to offer it to the Father. That is not what He wants. He wants an unleavened cake. Don't bring a bibinka or whatever, you know. You have to know what the Father wants. And number three, you have the peace offering. Peace offering. And number four, you have the sin offering. And number five, you have the trespass offering. One S. Trespass. This is one S, right? Trespass offering. Oh, don't add another one, okay? Don't add a bibinka. Don't add lechon, oh my goodness. You may love lechon, but not the Father. Okay? No lechon. Don't say, oh, hucha, hucha. Hucha, 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 hucha for you, but the Father doesn't want. Don't ever bring a pig as an offering. No. So you better learn and know what God wants. And among the birds, what should you bring? What kind of birds as burnt offering? Huh? Doves or turtle doves? Pigeon or turtle doves? What about crow? What about chicken? No. So only two kinds. So, 不能够随随便便啊, 带什么东西要来给父神啊? 你敢啊? 不可以随便的。 So, we are all the time very loose and presumptuous. Do not be presumptuous. Do exactly what the Father wants from you. Okay, learn this. Many years ago, when I found out in Psalm 19, that there is a sin called the sin of presumption. A sin of presumption. I think I've mentioned it to you, right? What is that sin? A sin of presumption. Psalm 19, right? It says, keep your servant from committing the sin of presumption. Presumptuous sin. So that I will not commit great sin against you. Presumptuous. 咱厦门话叫做“凊彩啦”， 칭찬. The sin of 칭찬. 칭찬 is my dialect. That means presumptuous. How do you say it in German? Nein, nicht irgendetwas. Wie sagt man im Psalm 19? Vermessenheit. Die Sünde der Vermessenheit. Well, what do you mean? In my dialect, Chinchai. Chinchai. 네가 아바비 왜 칭찬을 해? With our Heavenly Father, you cannot 칭찬. 随便，你知不知道啊？随便跟父神那个来往那个随便是个罪啊。他不要你这样做，你跑去做，这个就是随便罪。他不要的，你以为他要的，这个是这个随便的罪，任意妄为，任意妄为。 That's in Chinese version. 任意妄为. He didn't want you to do it, and you thought he wants you to do it. So you just do it. You thought it's good. What's wrong with doing that? It's not sinful. It's not ugly. It's not bad. Well, according to what you think, and you want to give it to the Father, you are in trouble. Yes. Yes. If the Father didn't want me to go to Korea, and I said, why not? Korea is a good place, and people are so open. So I go. I go there not to have a tour in Korea. I go there to do God's work. But the Father did not send me, didn't want me to do. So I said, but hey, I'm doing God's work, so I go. That is a presumptuous sin. The Father wants a burnt offering, and a burnt offering is only a cow, an ox, or a he sheep, a male sheep, or a male goat. Or if you cannot bring that, you can bring a turtle dove or a pigeon. But I thought, well, why should I bring a cow? I have so many pigs at home, I'll bring a pig. That is presumptuous. The Father says, pigeon and turtle dove, you thought the seagull is just as nice and it's so big. So you bring a seagull to the Father. That's presumptuous. The Father says, you must bring me the fine flour mingled with oil and offered with frankincense. So what are you going to bring? Suppose you say, well, it's too expensive, or I can't find fine flour. So what are you going to bring? I'll just bring oat. I bring oatmeal. I'll bring oat bran. And no oil, I'll put suka. And you bring an offering to the Father. That is presumptuous. In the very beginning, Abel and Cain. Abel brought what God wanted, a sacrifice with blood, because man became fallen. So without blood, there's no remission of sin. So Abel brought what God wanted. Cain says, well, it's better I bring what my labor. And he brought whatever he produced by himself. And I'm sure Abel brought the best of his produce, whatever they are. God rejected it. That is presumptuous sin.
칭찬이야. 주 뭐 그리 죄리 저기 죄.
主无爱，你以为伊爱啊？啊，但是啊，你袂用咧食忙了死。啊，我真有真好心啊！哇，去买红最好的忙了死，哇 ，boneless。来，等你吃，我 offer 出来，你会接受未？你要吃吗？最最好呀、啊，我可是好心嘛、啊，所以我看到你无要吃，我会生气啊。好心去交情，啊，人人讲去累情，我可以生气，所以 Cain got mad， Cain got mad。How come you accepted Abel's offering, you don't accept my offering? It's a problem. And he ended up killing his brother. Envy is very terrible. Terrible. So, dear brothers and sisters, learn. Don't be presumptuous.Don't be, 哎，我住的房子是不是要害你，我是要送你啊。那怎样，我送你是害你啊。Sorry, I'm just explaining what the word presumptuous means in Chinese, in Hokkien, okay, right?So, do not think that you can just bring anything to God. No. Do not do that. You should know exactly what the Father wants from you. It's very important. You should know exactly what is burnt offering and what to bring in a burnt offering. What is the meal offering and what to do with the meal offering.And how to prepare it if you make it into a cake. How many ways to bake it and to prepare it. And you should add salt, don't forget. And no honey and no leaven. Praise the Lord.It's not easy to be a priest to offer up these sacrifices. Right? And then the peace offering. Wow, the peace offering is really something that is very tedious. To have peace with God. To have peace with man. Right? You think it's easy to make peace?Oh, if you quarrel with your wife, who can make peace? Brian, you're going to make peace? You're going to go to their house and try to make peace? You come out with a black eye. It's not easy to make peace. Right?It's not easy to make peace. So the only person who can truly make peace is our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for He is our peace. Who could ever bring the Jews and the Arabs together? You tell me. That's why the Middle East Peace Treaty is so difficult. No one could make peace between the Jews and the Arab. Oh, why?Maybe Brother Jack Huang can do it. 那个联合国派你去讲和啊，因为他是温和很讲和，你去，能不能够试试看好不好？啊，不要。Oh, I'm sorry. I am sorry. Right. I should have asked you to take it away. Right.So you can really see it is not easy to make peace. So who could bring the Jews and the Arabs together? Only the Lord in Ephesians chapter 2. and his way is by the cross to terminate both the Jews and the Gentiles and bring them into one body in himself, thus making peace. Thank you, brother. Thus making peace. Yeah. Ah, thank you. Thank you. That's fine. Yeah. Right. So, nobody can really make peace. Christ is our peace. This is really the only way. True peace. This is the true peace. If our peace is just tolerance or exercise to, okay, you know, forget it. Let's not fight. Let's have peace. This kind of peace is like a peace between Russia and the United States. First, it's war. Then it's cold war. First it's hot war. Then it's cold war. Then it is economic cooperation. It has interests. Without interests, why would they be one? And is there real peace? No real peace. Don't think in the church life, okay, I'll have peace with Charlie, but in a distance. Peace in a 2 meter distance. As long as you keep 2 meters distance away from me, we'll have peace. The 2 meter peace. Don't touch me, I don't touch you, we'll have peace. Is that peace? Tell me, is that peace? People thought tolerance is peace. That's not peace. Within your heart, Charlie, I don't like his hair. What's wrong with his hair? I don't like it. There's so many different things out of nothing. Even if there's nothing, we'll make something out of nothing. I told some people, I thought only God can do something, create something out of nothing. But we can also create something out of nothing. Then, really,夫妻之中没事嘛，变成有事。那你是那么能干呢？能十五变有？我以为只有神能够十五变有，那知道我们也能十五变，十五变。No peace. No peace. So, we have a peace offering right in the middle between the first two and the last two. Peace offering. So wonderful. Right. Really. So important. So, if we are always quarreling, fighting, then you will have no peace offering to bring to the Father. Impossible. Only if you enjoy and experience Christ as our peace. You can bring a peace offering to the Father. This peace offering must be Christ, not you. Remember, the Father said from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That means the Father only want to enjoy the reality of Christ from you. Your peace is not everlasting. Today, okay, tomorrow. In the morning, peace. In the evening, war. That's why it's war and peace. From Leo Tolstoy, war and peace. In the morning, war. In the evening, peace. Tomorrow is war again. That's not peace. No. Your peace must be Christ, must be enjoyment of this Christ. If you're going to quarrel, and you're going to explode like Pinatubo, you know. When Pinatubo exploded, all the whatever is inside comes out. Lava comes out. Smoke comes out. Ashes come out. You never know you have a Pinatubo inside of you. Don't you? Don't say you don't. Oh, each one of us have a little Pinatubo. If it is not my own volcano, then it's Taal volcano. I never know that Taal, I've never seen Taal volcano smoking. I don't mean smoking, I mean smoke coming out. I was just going to tell Frank, let's go see it after the conference. I want to see Taal volcano with smoke coming out and take a photo. I have never seen Taal volcano with smoke. You know, some people you never see smoke coming out. But when it explodes, I tell you, there will be more lava than what's happening now in Hawaii. It will not stop. It keeps coming out. You cannot control it. Then you will all be surprised. What? I didn't know. I thought it was, what do you call that when a volcano is not exploding? It was, dormant. Right. Thank you. I have no experience with volcano. I forgot. It's only dormant. And when it explodes, oh my goodness. You know, I live in the Philippines, never heard of a volcano called Pinatubo. Until it exploded, and the whole world knows there is a Pinatubo. Oh, you may not know there's a Pinatubo in you. It was dormant until it explodes. Oh, my Lord. Get rid of that. Lord, save me. You are my peace. Christ is my peace. You think it's easy? No. You need to labor. Says, Lord, I want to take you as my peace. Take the volcano away from me. Don't just keep it dormant. No, remove this volcano from me. You think it's not possible? How? Have you not read Faith Moves Volcano? No, it says faith moves mountain, right? But volcano is a mountain. You say, Uncle John, you have a verse for everything. Yeah, maybe. It's because the verse is here. Whatever is here, you use it. How are you going to get rid of the volcano in you again? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Lord, get rid of my volcano. How wonderful. Christ is our peace. Oh, it's a wonderful peace. Let me tell you. To have peace, it's so good. You can sleep well. You're just free. You are. It looks like you're just lying down on the clouds. So good. Paul told Timothy, as much as is in you, you should have peace with everybody. Do you enjoy that verse? Do you love peace? Praise God. Christ is our peace.